Okay, I think most of the people are in here. I'm glad to see that Matthew was able to come. He had a big party yesterday. A lot of things happening for his family, a huge celebration there. I had a sheet here about some values. Now, some of you guys like to stand. That's fine. The idea is that you want to be comfortable. If you prefer to sit down, that's an option. Lana asked if she could sit any place she wanted to. I said, no, you may not sit on top of the lampstand. However, that's one of my values. But chairs standing up, helps you feel comfortable, helps me feel comfortable. I was looking at the value sheet of the values that you have, and some people put ticks, and I think the one that got the most ticks is being honest. Nobody ticked my favorite, which is clean your room. I'm not very good at that one. Also, empathy, respect, kindness, helping volunteer. There's a lot of very, very good values on here. How did you go about teaching it? Well, the one that got the most ticks was talking to them. Talk, talk, talk. Another one was stories, books, example, being patient and fun. I am very glad that my daughter did not mimic everything I did. If you look around my office, you'll discover that I am a messy. And Chris is a messy collector. Ruth, on the other hand, is neither. She is a very resourceful neatnik. And so you can always tell when Ruth has gone into the kitchen and cleaned the sink because it's a different quality of clean than when I do it. So sometimes I'm glad my children don't follow my example. But there's other times I really want them to follow my example. And so, you know, the things, as you said, as you tell them, that's important. The other way I teach my children on a regular basis is by decorating my house. The way this house is decorated reflects a lot of my values, a lot of Chris's values. You'll see the colors in here are primarily farm colors because Chris is from a farm. My father's also from a farm, so you're going to see that here in the house. You're going to see pictures of people because people are important to us. You're important to us. You're people. You'll see some different artworks. My father's inheritance to me is a picture that he hand-colored. That's of great value to me. So what do I value? It's around the corner. You can't see it right now. But I greatly value my father's artistic abilities. The places I've been, you can see those in there. But one thing that often helps me in teaching is repetition. I'm a slow learner. And people have to remind me over and over and over. Just ask Ruth how many times she's reminded me that you take the sponge out of the sink when you're done washing dishes.
She likes to help out, and I tell him when he comes to my house, okay, pink is for dishes, blue is for counter. Got it? And I see him like, what are you doing? The blue is in the sink. No!
When I was growing up, my parents wanted to teach me that certain holidays were very, very important. And they did that by repeating the same activities year after year after year. When I was a small child, my parents began teaching about Easter. And all I can remember as a child was, we decorate eggs. We take some eggs, we put them in boiling water, we put different colors on them. Then we take them out there and we hide them. And then we would go looking for them. And my father was a little bit of a trickster. Sometimes he would take an egg and he'd attach it to a long stake and drive it in the ground, and we'd go try to pick it up off the ground, and you couldn't pick it up. Okay, my father's a trickster. But every year we would do the eggs over and over and over, and I began to say, you know, this is a holiday I look forward to. It's much more fun to look forward to that one than it is to weeding the garden. So don't look for weeding the garden days, look for Easter. And then as I got a little bit older, I began to try to study the symbolism, the message that's behind that holiday, like your kids do for your holidays. Chris's tradition was to make an Easter tree. It's not my tradition, but when you get married, you've got to figure out how do you teach your children what's important. And both families value the same holiday, but you value it in different ways. And one of the things that Chris would often do is she'd actually take an egg and blow it out so it was hollow. And just my mother gave me these Easter eggs that were hollow. I'm going, why do they do that? Is it just to make it look bigger so you think you've got a bigger egg? But the reality is they were trying to communicate a message. And that is a message that when Jesus was killed, they came back into the tomb and they found it to be empty. As a little child, I could handle the idea of empty. But as a little child, I really couldn't handle the idea of death. Because a 3 to 5 year old, 7 year old, 10 year old, you haven't got any idea what death is. And so I think that by repeating things over and over and over, as I grew as a child, I could understand the holiday in more significance. And so when I was in high school, I actually worked, I was in college. No, it's in high school. When I was in high school, I actually worked the coroner's office. I saw dead people. And I recognized when a dead person goes in the fridge, he doesn't come out on his own. And so that got me to think about that story again, that you know, as my parents would tell me that Jesus, he was killed, and they put him in a grave, but he came alive 3 days later someplace outside of that tomb. I'm going, this doesn't make a lot of sense, but you know, it's a story that they told me, and so I'm trying to get this thing all put together. We began teaching the story to our children with this tree over here. You might say, well, it's kind of, you know, primitive, it's kind of, you know, childish, but it's got a good message. Because you see, for some coins, one of Jesus' followers betrayed him. So when I see the tree, I say, oh yeah, that tells me that part of the story, yeah. And this part here says that the soldiers mocked Jesus. They really made fun of the guy. I mean, could you imagine being called a king and put thorns like this and being whipped and beaten and so forth? Total mockery. And so the people found that they were really making fun of Jesus in that sense. This one reminds me that they actually put Jesus up on a cross. And they wanted everybody to know why he was dying, so they put it in three languages. This is the king of the Jews. Now just think about this. You're in Israel, your king is up on a cross, the religious leaders are making fun of him. Okay, weird story. Then you go on to this picture, this one here. That's supposed to be an angel. Okay. Yes. So give it the great honor that it deserves to Ruth.
Seven.
Because as the account goes on, the angel shows up and tells the people that Jesus isn't here, he's risen. Did I forget this one here, Ruth? Yeah. Okay. After Jesus was killed, his friends wrapped him up in a wrap and they put him into a tomb with spices. And that reminds me of that part of it. And so all of those things, they tell a story. And as I became older, I began to wonder, so what? I mean, a lot of people die. I hate to tell you, everybody who drank water today is going to die in the next 300 years. I can guarantee it. It's just, it's a fact of life. People die. I mean, my dad works at a coroner. It happens. But my parents taught me more and more that Jesus' death actually accomplished something. How did you get into Australia? I got here because somebody sponsored me. Anybody else have to be sponsored? Anybody? Okay, you got here on your own merit, right?
Yeah.
Either you got here on your own merit or else somebody sponsored you. Okay. Well, in a sense, Jesus sponsored me into heaven. He says, I'm going to do something here to actually qualify you in. On the other hand, some people are trying to get into heaven on their own merit. And I was trying to think of my score. Imagine the score to get into heaven is about 100. We'll pick a number, 100, right? My score for being good, probably about a 10. You know, I try to be good, but you just ask my kids. You can ask her, is Dad good all the time?
No.
Half the time? No, I said, seriously, I talk to the kids at the going to school. How are you? I'm good. Really? How'd you do it? Because I just have a hard time always being kind and patient. It just doesn't work for me. And so what Jesus did when he died on the cross, basically he said, I'm willing to exchange papers with you. I've always been good. I'm going to die and give you my papers so you can enter into heaven. So I said, that's pretty significant. But I didn't understand the story fully until I was 18. And at 18, all of a sudden it clicked and something happened. See this little chick right here? Well, he's kind of beat up, isn't he? Man, he's had a hard day. Here's the front, okay. The little chick talks about new life. Jesus says he came to give us a new life because I was born spiritually dead. I was disconnected from God, feeling very distant from God. I went to church regularly. I sang a lot of songs, but I experienced something called a new birth when I was about 18 years old. when all of a sudden the things that Jesus became relevant to me. And then I figured out why Jesus died. Okay, so I could qualify for heaven. But why did he rise again? I mean, I was 29 at the time, struggling to, why did Jesus rise again? Well, to give me the power to live the way he wants me to live. Right, and so that's an important thing to me, to have to have power, because he talks about something called the Holy Spirit, who kind of gives power to people who follow him. And so I'm really grateful for the simple things that made sense to me as a child. But as time has gone on, these symbols become more and more important to me. And so I want to teach them to my children. I want to teach them to the people around me, because they make a difference in my life. So as you think of the things that are important to you, how are you going to teach them to your kids? Well, I suggest repetition is good. I suggest simple objects around the house which become meaningful to you. I suggest telling the stories, but also give them the time to learn the richness of it. Chris went to something on Anzac Day today. There's a richness in there. There's the stories that keep on being told year after year after year after year. The picture on the back, that picture of Jesus walking on the water, was kind of just a present at our wedding, which became significant to the family when Chris got cancer. And she was sitting here in the room and she recognized what she needs to keep her eyes on. So I'd encourage you to think through how you're going to teach things to your children. And I'm going to take actually this list and publish it. And I'm also going to be, I actually did record this talk, hopefully. And so if you want to have a chance to go back and listen to it, you can see it again. Is Matthew here? He's out playing games with the kids. He's coming. One of the other ways that I teach values to people is by singing. And one of the songs I learned as a child, as a teenager, was Zoom Golly Golly, Zoom Golly Golly. Now the words make actually no sense to anybody, because the next part goes, Hekalutz Leimon, Hekalutz. And what it was a very good song for was teaching children to work together in a round, so we kind of pay attention together and, you know, do like that. So that's some values. The other one is a song that's about a word that I've often shared, which is one of my favorite words, grace. Grace is giving people what they don't deserve. That is, you know, well, sometimes when you're bad, my dad would spank me. Well, not when you're bad, well, sometimes when I was bad, my dad would spank me. Now, he isn't not going to spank me because of what you've done. Dad had a worse punishment, which is being grounded, which meant that we couldn't go anyplace. And my brother once threw a rock at a girl. She deserved it, but my dad said, you don't throw rocks at girls. And so he was grounded for a whole month, and that was what he deserved. Grace is getting a special present. We don't deserve it. And Matthew, I think we can try at least one verse, and maybe we might go a second one. If you know the song Amazing Grace, you're free to sing along. Otherwise, just listen. Amazing grace, how sweet the song that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed. Will many dangers, souls and snares I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me a safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. sing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see. Think of the songs you might pick to teach your children values. There's a bunch of other ways we thought about, you know, teaching values. Example, books, being patient and fun, reading stories, moral stories, observing the world around them. I hope you have a great time teaching your children. I hope they'll learn the values you want them to learn, and they'll be forgiving of our faults. The rest of the day, we plan to basically have a pinata out in the front and maybe a game or so. And I'm supposed to also, Roddy also asked for a magic trick.
Yeah.
And so I'll be making sure. I was going to see if I could make her disappear, but that would not be a good trick. I know how to make an audience. You know how to make an audience disappear? There's two ways. The first way is this, and the second way is to be boring. Hope I didn't bore you. Okay, so I'm going to go see how Chris is going with the kids, and we might go, you can continue
and
talking.
More food if you want to your coffee, I'm on that duty. So I'm on kitchen duty, so come on in and ask if you'd like.
Thank you. Thanks, Bob.